Thank you. Blessed be God, most holy, glorious, and undivided Trinity.
And blessed be God's name, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given your only Son to be for us a sacrifice for sin and also an example of godly life. Give us grace to receive thankfully the fruits of his redeeming work, and to follow daily in the blessed steps of his most holy life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Genesis. Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me!" So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it is not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt, and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in reading Psalm 133 antiphonally by whole verse. Those on the lector side will read the verses in bold, while those on the choir side will read the verses not in bold. Oh, how good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like fine oil upon the head that runs down upon the beard, upon the beard of Aaron, and runs down upon the collar of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon that falls upon the hills of Zion. For there has God ordained the blessing, life forevermore.
A reading from the letter to the Romans. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they now have been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may be merciful to all. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged them, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." If you're anything like me, you might find it uncomfortable to hear Jesus speaking this way. A woman is coming to him out of desperation, hoping to heal her daughter, only to have Jesus resist her request. She's a Gentile, a Canaanite, and Jesus insists that he has come only for the people of Israel. Jesus also uses a rather demeaning metaphor where the Israelites are described as the children and everyone else, including this woman, are dogs. I think one of the reasons this passage challenges me so much is because I have a very specific, very personal way of imagining Jesus. For me, Jesus is always humble and tender. His anger is never premeditated, and his words are only severe for those who deserve it. My Jesus would never have said what he said to the Canaanite woman. Many attempt to defend Jesus in light of today's gospel reading. They argue that Jesus is simply testing the Canaanite woman, and that he always knew how the woman was going to answer him. And this interpretation has some support. The Greek word for dogs being used in this passage here is more indicative of a domesticated house dog rather than a wild dog on the streets. Additionally, the woman recognizes this and even engages the metaphor that Jesus is using. "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Both of these points have been used as evidence that Jesus is testing the Canaanite woman. When he says he's come to feed not the dogs, but only the children of Israel, maybe he does so with a little twinkle in his eye and a cheeky smile on his face. Maybe in his divinity, Jesus already knew how the woman would respond, intending this to be a teaching moment for his disciples, who just moments ago asked Jesus to ignore the woman. This interpretation certainly puts Jesus in a more sympathetic light, mainly because it justifies his use of language that is not only offensive, but very exclusionary. Jesus has come only for the lost sheep of Israel? What about the Gentiles? What about all of us? Does Jesus really believe his mission is to save the Israelites and no one else? Or is this all part of the test? If we search earlier in Matthew's gospel, we find that Jesus has actually used this lost sheep of Israel expression before. In chapter 10, Jesus commissions his disciples to cast out demons and heal the sick, but he sends them out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel." This greatly complicates the interpretation that Jesus was merely testing the Canaanite woman. Jesus, at least according to Matthew's telling, is clearly under the impression that his ministry is only for the Jews. And this doesn't just complicate our interpretation of today's passage, it also unsettles our image of a divine Christ who always knew his true purpose was to save all of humanity, not just Israel. Today, I invite us to sit with that discomfort. And I ask all of you to consider this text at face value. To quote one of my Bible professors, what does the text actually say? In Matthew chapters 10 and 15, Jesus says plainly, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Isn't it possible, then, that this is what Jesus actually believed? Isn't it possible that as a Jewish male living in first century Palestine, Jesus, like any human being, was a product of his upbringing and social context? Jesus was raised alongside expectations for the Messiah, and he likely recognized his messianic role primarily through a Jewish lens. He would have shared the same worldview and also the prejudices of his tribe of birth. This would explain why Jesus was hesitant to even talk to the Canaanite woman when she first approached him. To Jesus and his people, the Canaanites, which is itself a derogatory term, were the worst of the worst. They were dogs. So here is the point. Jesus was a human being every bit as much as he was God. And just as each of us must question and discern what it is God is calling us to do, perhaps Jesus underwent this same most basic human experience. Perhaps Jesus did not yet know the full extent of his calling, nor the full truth of his ministry. Now you might be thinking to yourself, Anthony, Jesus is the embodiment, the very personification of truth. How could he not understand the truth behind his calling? The truth that he was meant to heal and to bless all peoples. And I would answer that question by directing you to the Canaanite woman's response to Jesus. Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. The woman in this story speaks the truth, and Jesus recognizes it. The truth may have been a challenge to his worldview. It might have been a disruption to his sense of call. And yet he allows himself to be inspired, to be changed by the truth that this nameless woman is speaking to him. I may be a dog, but I will take whatever crumbs of salvation you have to offer. Jesus is transformed by this experience. He never again says that he was sent only for the lost sheep of Israel. And the gospel, according to Matthew, eventually ends with Jesus sending out his apostles to make disciples of all nations. So yes, Jesus is the embodiment of truth, because truth is much more than just having all the answers. Truth implies the ability to recognize truth when we see it and when we hear it. And this ability to recognize truth is something God is calling us to exercise, especially now, with the proliferation of AI and a world full of people who speak lies and misinformation for their own political and monetary gain. Those who receive these lies into their hearts and repeat them for others to hear defile themselves. Because it is what comes out of the heart and through the mouth that defiles a person, just as Jesus teaches us. But if defilement is of the heart, then so are the qualities that the unnamed woman in our gospel exemplifies. Faith, respect, persistence. These things do not defile us, rather they honor and serve us. When we recognize these qualities in others, we are oftentimes transformed by the experience. And when we allow ourselves to be changed, when we allow our most tightly held convictions to be challenged, especially as they relate to our understanding of God, we find that God is much bigger, much more loving, and much more inclusive than we could possibly imagine. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, may we each have the wisdom to listen for truth in the same places that Jesus learned to find it, among the voices of the marginalized. Help us to listen to the homeless, the immigrant, and all those experiencing danger, prejudice, and discrimination. In doing so, may we see a fuller, more truthful image of you than scripture or tradition alone will allow. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world.
O God of equity and mercy, we offer our special thanksgivings for those who guide us by their teaching, preaching, and prayers, to discern our own gifts and calling, to discover our path to all that is good and acceptable to you. We pray for all who lead the church, including bishops, deacons, priests, and lay people. Lord, in your mercy. O God of equity and mercy, empower us to be vigorous in the pursuit of justice and all that is right. Guide us to reform our own attitudes and actions from callous to compassionate. We pray especially for political leaders of this world, this country, and this community, that they may be compassionate and govern justly. Lord, in your mercy. O God of equity and mercy, show us the light of your countenance as we share your ways across this earth. Gather us together as foreigner and outcast and other, to bless and guide us, to praise you, and to be joyful in your house of prayer as one people in our one God. Lord, in your mercy. O God of equity and mercy, infuse hope, healing, and comfort in all who are lost in the grip of serious or life-threatening illnesses or addiction, and all who give of their strength and support. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. Lord, in your mercy. O God of equity and mercy, open wide the gates of heaven as you receive in joy those we now commend to the bliss of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, Mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us confess our sins to God.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. You may be seated for our announcements. As always, there are things in our yellow sheet that I hope you will take note of. Take this home if that helps you. Be sure you're signed up for our weekly email that comes out most Fridays. We also have, if you're not getting our weekly email, it might mean that you're new. So our usher is up front with welcome bags, and if you raise your hand, we won't ask you to introduce yourself or stand up or anything like that, but if you raise your hand, then Ben will know who needs a welcome bag. So please partake of the information in there, and of course the chocolate as well. It's compared to much of the summer, this is a quieter Sunday, but after church today, we have a Bible study in room 6 and 7, and if you were taken by the reading from Genesis today, where we were talking about the Joseph story, it may seem like it sort of comes out of the blue, and there's this very emotional, riveting kind of family story, but it's actually the end of a long saga, and we heard the beginning of it last Sunday. We heard the end of it today, but we didn't get much of what's in the middle, so I don't think it makes as much sense. But if you come to Bible study, we will try to talk about the whole arc of the Joseph story, and so I encourage you to join us in 6 and 7. You can go to get coffee first, and then head over there. If you get there and I'm not there yet, don't worry, I'm on my way. Next Sunday is a little busier. We have the blessing of the backpacks at all of our services. That means the 8 o'clock, the 10 o'clock, and also at 5:30 for the pizza church that is happening at 5 o'clock. Whatever it says on here, don't listen to me, read the yellow sheet. The yellow sheet's probably right. So we've got pizza church happening next Sunday, and we're going to be talking about Moses, because that's what's coming next in our Old Testament readings. Of course, we'll have pizza, and you do not have to be a child or have children to come. Everyone is welcome. It's really great if you've got something else going on Sundays, and you want to make sure you get to church before the end of the weekend. Lots more happening. We're starting an online formation class on Wednesday nights. That's open to anyone, and there's information about that in here. We've got yoga going on. There's more, much, much more to take a look at in here. We still don't have any celebrations or milestones. We didn't at the 8 o'clock. It's just like a low time. Anyone going once? Oh, wait, in back.
I want to say this is my last Sunday at St. Martin's. So thank you for being a wonderful church home to me and Sarah for the last 5 years. And we will miss St. Martin's Church.
Oh, do you want? want to come forward for the celebration and blessing? Yeah. Anyone else? Yes, Tim. Brother's birthday. I think somebody else had a brother who is having a birthday. That's a good thing. Or a dad. Yes. Oh. Tuesday. Okay. See, we have birthdays. That's great. Oh, congratulations. An engagement. And whose birthday? Oh, okay. See, just like right here, we got a bunch of birthdays. Yes, Mia.
We put James on a plane for the start of his year of service in Argentina.
Aw.
Through Chicago.
Sorry, for a second, I was thinking of a different James, but... Their former dog was named James. Okay, I'm going to stop. Oh, wait, one more.
Chica,
oh, fantastic. And Diane or Yvonne? Your grandson? Wow, fantastic. So another birthday. And Nick, you started to say something? Oh, yeah, there's an information about convocation in the yellow sheet. We'll be talking about that some more. It's coming up in September, but do please mark your calendars. That's not only for people who are delegates, but anybody can come to that, and it's here at St. Martin's. All right, so I think we have a lot of birthdays. We have James, the student, going off to Argentina. We have a wedding to celebrate, and Ben, come on over here. We all say this prayer together on page 5 for celebrations and milestones. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God go with you. We have communion around the altar rail today. We have communion in two kinds. The bread is gluten-free and vegan, and you can take that and intinct, or ask for it to be intincted. You hold it out, and then the person coming by with the chalice will intinct it for you and give it back to you. Or you can consume the bread and wait for the chalice to come. You can also cross your arms, indicating you would prefer to receive a blessing. And everyone is welcome to come forward for communion. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Done on our earth as it is.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, sustainer of the universe.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be, shining light and enfolding dark, the vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will, they were created and have their being. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with the capacity for memory, reason, and skill. You made us stewards of your creation.
Glory to you forever and ever.
But we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, born of a woman, to be our Savior. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death, he opened to us the way of freedom and peace.
Glory to you.
Therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for sending us Jesus, the Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine. He gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Therefore, we who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Sanctify us also, and let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth and make it your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom, where peace and justice are revealed, that we, with all your people of every language, race, and nation may share the banquet you have promised. Through Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Creator of all. Glory to you forever and ever.
Amen.
And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día, perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Life is short, and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who walk the way with us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And the blessing of the triune God who made us, who loves us, and who travels with us be with you now and forever.
Amen.
Peace, to love and serve the Lord.